We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Now, back to the Gary Parish Show on 92.9 FM ESPN with Jeff Calkins on today's show, presented by the Blue Monkey.
Jeff Calkins is an award-winning columnist, Daily Memphian. He's the host of the Jeff Calkins Show, weekdays from 9 to 11. Joins me every single day, a little after 5 o'clock. He's here right now. Jeff Calkins, how are you?
I'm good, Gary.
So when we spoke this morning, we were under the impression, because of a report from The Athletic, that the Alliance of American Football is having real cash problems, had to be saved by a billionaire, and if not for that development, they were going to have trouble even meeting week two payroll. There was a report that some players were not paid on time. The Alliance of American Football has subsequently said, that's just not true. We had a payroll glitch because we switched payroll companies, and the players, every one of them, knew about this possible issue in advance, but we were never going to not be able to meet payroll. And this $250 million cash investment from the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes is something totally unrelated to any sort of cash problems that somebody reported we had, because we didn't really have the cash problems that in a way that it was suggested. Do you believe them? I think I believe them.
Well, I believe them in this way. I believe them because, as we pointed out this morning, it was so bizarre to think that you look up and you're in week two and say, whoa, we got no money. Like, you could imagine that in week 10, 11, 12. Actually, that's kind of what happened with the XFL. They sort of looked up at the end of the season and said, this is unsustainable, and pulled the plug. And even that, you would think you would have enough money. But you know, we had Charlie Ebersole on at my show, and he sounded at least like a serious guy. And so, and then the NFL is sort of involved with this. Bill Polian's involved with this. This is not a bunch of fly-by-nights. And so you would think, you would just think it is such a bizarre story to think that after the first 2 weeks of football, you were running out of money. It's almost inconceivable. So for that reason, I do believe them. I do believe them that that was a glitch, and I do believe now. The reports from The Athletic said sources were that we needed this, and I don't know who their sources were, and I don't know. So I'm not necessarily doubting that. I just think logic tells you that it's hard to believe a fledgling franchise that knew there would be growing pains looked up after week two and said, "Whoops, we got no money." It just seems a little far fetched.
Well, like when we were talking about it this morning on your show, you know, the one question, whether it was me asking it or you asking it or Jeffrey asking it, was like, how do you not have money a week into this thing? It just did not make sense. The comparison I made, and perhaps it doesn't work perfectly, but it, I think, makes the point. Like, people get in over their heads financially all the time and get into a place where they can't make payments that they thought they were going to be able to make for whatever reasons. Maybe their job situation changed, or maybe they misevaluated what was possible and what isn't. And so you get folks constantly losing cars, losing homes, but not like after 1 week. You know, you don't buy a car today and then you go, oh my God, so the first payment's due and I don't have any idea how I'm going to make that payment. It might put you in a bind to make that payment, and then you'll be in a bigger bind next time, and eventually it catches up to you, but it ain't going to be in week one. You're not going to move into a house and not know how to make the very first house payment. And that's what this felt like. How in the world do you put all this thought and energy into a football, professional football league, and after 1 week you're out of money? And so that's why I was just like, what? And the explanation, I think, actually sounds sensible. We weren't out of money, if only because how could we possibly be out of money? It just doesn't make any sense.
It makes no sense. It's exactly that. It would be hilarious. You buy this house, you move in, you're like, okay, oh hell, you mean we gotta do this mortgage thing again next month? Like, that's crazy. Like, yeah, you gotta, you know. So it did not make sense. Because you couldn't imagine what had gone so badly wrong in 2 weeks. Yes, the gate has not been great, but I can't believe that they forecasted the gate was great, and I honestly don't believe they think they're surviving on the gate. It just, whole thing made no sense. And so this, this is much more sensible. Now, does the story say they have a new chairman, though, of the, that they have this new contract, this $250 million, the guy who owns the Carolina Hurricanes, and he's going to be the new chairman? You do wonder if that indicates some shifting of something, right? Or if that is a difference in structure, at least is my perception from reading the stories.
Yeah, now Charlie Ebersol basically said Tom Dundon, who's the owner of the Carolina Hurricanes, right, came to him after the momentum of week one. Because regardless of whether this thing is working inside the markets where the franchises are located, inside the stadiums where the franchises play, there is no denying it has been a television success and a social media success. People are talking about the Alliance of American Football, even if it's not drawing particularly well from a live gate perspective. So after it proves itself to be a real thing that can work on television, Charlie Ebersol says he was approached by Tom Dundon, who wanted to invest. And Tom Dundon basically said to him, you can go raise money here and get some money here. Why wouldn't you just do a deal with me and let me give you all the money you're going to need? Like, you don't have to do five separate deals. You don't have to keep hustling for money. I can just give you $250 million cash and then make me a big investor in this league because I think it's going to be a viable property going forward. And Ebersol, and I think this should probably surprise nobody, he just said that was an offer I could not refuse. And so it might be that there's a shakeup in, you know, in terms of...
But only
of,
for good reasons. Good reasons, because there's an enthusiastic new investor who wanted to pour money in.
Right. That's exactly right. Now, listen, it ain't my money,
I'm
but...
I'm so relieved to know the Express is going to be here for the next decade.
Well, I don't know. I don't know that there's any guarantee
morning,
the Express...
This morning, yeah, we are really worried about it. We are really worried about it this morning.
I don't know that the Express is going to be here for the next decade, but I do think that Football League is going to survive. And like I told you, talked about with you earlier today, the plan, and I would imagine this is on Tom Dundon's radar as well, the plan is to build this thing into something that the NFL eventually just buys and makes its own. And the NFL could obviously do that very easily. And the thought, at least among the people I've talked to who are connected to this league, either from a broadcasting perspective or in another way, that's the long-term goal. It's not to turn this into a football league that, you know, plays in front of 60,000 fans every weekend. It's to make it a developmental league that is ultimately gobbled up by the NFL and serves a purpose to put football on television in a different part of the calendar, but also, develop into an incredible developmental league / scouting possibility for NFL general managers and owners, so on and so forth. But none of that means that the franchises have to be where they are right now. And I do wonder this, because what's interesting is anytime, you know, these types of leagues have popped up, they've tried to put the teams in real markets, like, you know, in Atlanta, in LA, in Orlando, in Memphis, wherever. I wonder if you'd be better served taking the franchises and putting them in markets, regardless of television market size, putting them in markets where they're the best thing the market has, as opposed to the eighth best thing the market has. Because, and maybe I'm projecting a little bit here, but I find it incredibly difficult to get excited about minor league sports when you have major league sports. When you have the Golden State Warriors and the Lakers coming to town, how are you supposed to get excited about a minor league football program? And I think that's true probably like in Atlanta as well. When you have the Falcons, why do you care about this thing? You know, I wonder if you wouldn't be better served as a league putting these things in. Think about where minor league baseball works best. It's usually in cities where it's the biggest thing there. I wonder if you'd be better served going to smaller markets, making this the best professional sports franchise the market in question has, and then I think it's an easier sell to get people to embrace it. Does that make any sense?
No, I think exactly. Like someone over the weekend tweeted at me that the team's going to be in Chattanooga before. They just threw out Chattanooga. But like Chattanooga would kind of make more sense. Like we roll our eyes at this team a little bit. I don't, because they sponsor my radio show, and I'm all in. I'm all aboard. But But there is a little bit of that. I honestly, like I said, the people who are out there had such a blast. I am much less eye-rolling about the whole thing. I think it was fun. I'm a little eye-rolling about the offense, but I'm not eye-rolling about the Enterprise. But in Chattanooga, there's no Grizzlies in Chattanooga. There's not UT Vols in Chattanooga. There's just the Lookouts, right, and the Mocs. And so you can imagine that in that kind of a city, it might really be embraced in a way that it may or may not be embraced here. Now, I'm hoping that it grows and that people had so much fun the first time, and 2 weeks more people will come out and we'll see. Typically, what's interesting is that it is the leagues, and Memphis has had a lot of these leagues. Memphis has never closed before the league folds. The league folds, and Memphis is one of the best franchises and goes down when the league goes down. This one, Memphis has the worst attendance in a league that looks like it's doing pretty well. And so for the first time ever, and I don't think it's any accidents because it's the first time since we've had the Grizzlies, Memphis is not leading the way in attendance. And I just think it's because we've become a major league city, and so we're a little bit less desperate than we were.
And I don't think it would have a negative impact on television ratings at a national level, because I don't get the sense, and I'm not privy to the data, but I'm just guessing here. I would assume, to the extent that it's been a rating success, it's not because you're in the Atlanta market and a bunch of people who live in Atlanta are tuning in. It's just that people who enjoy football and or gambling are willing to watch football on television on the weekend. It really does not – I don't think it matters at all where the franchises are located. So, like, if you acknowledge that, put them in – put it in Chattanooga. Put it in Jackson, Mississippi. I mean, you could pick out other places,
right.
Obviously.
Hartford could be in Hartford or Gary, Indiana, or wherever. It could be in Des Moines. It could be in, like, places that where there's really not competition.
Right. So you don't have in-market competition. You don't
and
have
there's
people.
No snobbery. You're not people looking down their nose at it.
Yeah. Like, listen, the people who run that league are, I'm assuming, smarter than I, and they've probably thought through everything. But I bet you if your goal was to take this football product that is a television success and also make it a live gate success in the markets in which the franchises are located, you got to get it in a different type of market than a market with an NBA franchise or a market with a NHL franchise or a market with a NFL franchise. And I don't know that, perhaps they'll try that someday, but I don't just think this is the type of league where, 6,000 people went to the game last weekend and they had a great time, so now it's going to be 15,000 people. I mean, I think with better weather, you'll get better crowds, but if their initial goal was to get somewhere between 15,000 and 25,000 people per game, I don't think they're ever going to hit the baseline on that in Memphis.
Could they get to 15? I think they could get to 15 this year on a nice, if it's a nice sunny day. The problem is, as we've said before, the team sucks right now.
Right.
It appears. So if you had Steve Spurrier, if you had that team, if you had the Orlando team, if the team became, whatever, was 5-0 and it was a nice sunny day in Memphis, could I imagine them getting 15? Yes, I could. As it is, can I imagine them getting 15? I think it's probably unlikely. I mean, they announced 11 at the first one, so or 13. They announced 13. They announced 11.
11,000 paid is what they identified.
Yeah, they announced 11. So, but in terms of actual people, there are probably 3,000, and I could see them getting 15. I could see them getting 15 on a beautiful day if they were a decent team. I could see that, but it's obviously that's not been the normal trajectory. Like the Maniacs got 30 the first game, and then it went down from there, it doesn't typically build. Here they're obviously going to have to build.
I'm talking to Jeff Calkins here on 92.9 FM ESPN, and I do recognize that we probably talked about this league at a disproportionate rate than perhaps what it deserves, because, again, even though there is it had a social media presence during the game, and it has a television ratings presence. It doesn't have a – like, people aren't filing into the Liberty Bowl to go watch this team play. I don't know how many players outside of the quarterback people listening to us right now could even name. But I will say I think that has more to do with the state of the Grizzlies and the trade deadline being in our rearview mirror than it does anything else. It's a weird thing doing a talk show 2 hours every day. You have to do it 2 hours every day. And the Grizzlies in the All-Star break in a bad season that's about to continue and, going nowhere good, it really does open us up to you know, in different times we'd be talking about the Grizzlies nonstop. There's just not a whole lot to say about them right now, though.
Oh, I actually think we haven't until this to me was a little bit like the Olympics, in that until the team started playing, we didn't talk about them at all. I don't think we talked about them at all. And then we have talked about them around the first game because then there's something to talk about. And what's interesting is even though no one went to that game, I've written two columns in the last few days. One was about the Memphis Tigers and Penny Hardaway and the loss to Orlando and sort of the state of the season right now. And one was about the opening game of the AAF season in Memphis. Got many more hits for the AAF column.
Yep.
I think there's interest out there. I actually think there's latent interest. Now, I don't know that it'll extend to game two, but it's a new phenomenon, and I think people were interested in what this was like. I don't actually think that – I think people are interested in it. Now, I don't know how long they're going to be interested in it, but I don't think we've been wearing
That's
it out.
That's what she
I
said.
I think we ignored it for a long time, and then when it became interesting, we talked about it.
That's what she
and
said.
If it remains interesting, we'll continue to talk about it, and if it's – if they're 0-4 and nobody's going to the game, then we'll stop talking about it.
At church on Sunday, I had numerous people talking about it, about the game Saturday.
Yeah, and people who weren't there, I think a bunch of people watched it on TV.
Yeah.
They just said it was too cold, and they stayed home and watched it on TV. It's new, you know, it's new. Yeah. And so as something new, I think it actually has been kind of a fun topic.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.